For many parents, convincing their children to eat a healthy dinner is a nightly battle. With this in mind, a number of experts and health researchers have devised a bunch of strategies for expanding the palates of picky children, and this year's New York City Wine and Food Festival is hosting a panel discussion about this called Beyond Chicken Nuggets, How to Raise a Healthy Eater. On it are TV Food Network's Rachel Ray, Jessica Seinfeld, and chef and cookbook author Alice Waters. Tara Parker Pope, the Well columnist for the New York Times, will host the panel. I'm very pleased to welcome back to this show Tara Parker Pope and Alice Waters. It's great to see both of you.
Good to see you.
Haven't children always been finicky eaters? Is it more of a concern today because of the choices that are available to them? Alice?
Well, I was a very picky eater when I was a kid. Very picky eater. And I had certain choices, obviously, that were available to us, but not all the time. I just remembered I had to make a big effort to sort of walk 8 blocks up the street to find a little corner store so I could buy some candy.
And that's the big difference right now. You know, kids today are growing up in this environment where there's fast food, convenience foods, their parents are eating on the run, they're eating in the car. It's a completely different world kids are growing up in today.
And the panel is called Beyond Chicken Nuggets. So is fast food the biggest problem?
I think, you know, Alice and I have talked about this. You know, it's completely taken us away from our relationship with food. And I think that, you know, when you teach a child to just eat quickly, they there's a lot of lessons they don't learn. I think that's one of the things Alice talks a lot about, the lessons children can learn from a meal.
Well, when most kids are not eating with their families anymore, they aren't sitting around the table, they aren't sort of passing the food around, sharing the food, if you will, and having a conversation there.
So TV is a culprit here as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where you're just left to your own devices, if you will, and so you're going out and you're hanging with your friends and you're eating, whatever is out there, and it's one thing that you're eating this food that's not particularly good for you, but you're kind of eating the values of the food too, and so you're eating fast, cheap, and easy. And so that's what the expectations are, is that food should be inexpensive. I mean, in fact, cheap. And that you don't want to pay for anything that costs, you know, if it's something that's good and it costs more, well, hey.
Which has led people to accuse you of being an elitist.
Exactly.
Well, there's always a trade-off. I guess we could spend the money on food or we could spend the money on something else.
On cell phones and second pair of gym shoes or God knows.
But healthful eating doesn't have to be expensive. You know, it is more, you know, this is a big problem right now in America that if you have limited funds, it actually is easier and cheaper to buy junk food, especially if you don't have the knowledge. You know, there was a program in California where they allowed women on food stamps to shop at farmers markets. And when given that opportunity, they did. And they chose, you know, great fresh vegetables. But you have to create these opportunities. And I think starting with children, you have to create a sense that, you know, it's not, you know, this or that, that there's really one good way to eat and one tasty way to eat.
Well, Alice, you started a program in Berkeley. And one of the problems is that your locally grown organic meals might end up costing $5 compared to the current $3 that a typical school lunch costs. Are the schools culpable here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all of this food, of course, is subsidized. And so we don't know what the real cost of this cheap food is. And
well, the schools are actually making money on the sale of the Pepsi, Coke, and Snapple in those vending machines.
Exactly, exactly. And I just feel like we have to begin to understand, be educated about where our food comes from. And for me, and what I've learned for this 37 years of being in the restaurant business is that I want to pay the people the farmers and the ranchers and the people who grow and produce our food, I want to pay them a fair wage, and because they're nourishing me, and I want them to have the money. So I think the biggest problem that we have, one of the big problems, is that we don't know how to cook anymore. We don't know how to cook affordable food, our sort of peasant food, if you will. It's fast food. And when given the possibilities of a farmer's market and all those fruits and vegetables and grains, people are just
overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. And what do I do with this?
Well, you have a number of different kinds of approaches. You have people who take cooking very seriously and they're making fancy food. And then you have other people who could just make really tasty meals of the sort that you said, peasant food. And they're eating fast food often. But, Tara, you have an article in today's Times in which you say, interestingly, that that people often eat worse during economic boom times.
Yeah, it's true. It's counterintuitive. You think that good times would lead to better health, but we tend to be indulgent and we tend to work longer hours. We have more fat-laden restaurant meals. We drink more alcohol. What's interesting is just in the past 6 months, there's already data showing that with the current economic climate, that more people are starting to cook at home and, you know, from scratch. And that is a definite gain for health when people start cooking in their own kitchens.
So maybe we shouldn't have come up with that $770 billion. Maybe for the health of the nation and in the fight against obesity, and I'm assuming that obesity is also a major factor as a result of this bad eating.
Yeah, you know, obesity actually gets worse during boom times. And you see a lot of benefits in that area during lean, you know, obviously, you know, financially lean times. But, you know, the bailout, already it's causing people to tighten their belts. And so hopefully there will be an effect.
So the other idea that we had, that this is a class thing, really doesn't always apply. Because it's assumed that poor people eat worse than people of means.
Well, there are data to show that junk food is cheaper. And so there needs to be, you know, we have all these policies that support cheap ingredients that aren't necessarily good for you. I do think at a policy level there needs to, you know, we need to revisit that and say, well, what are we really supporting? What industries are really supporting? But it is true that, you know, people if with education and with effort can eat well for very little money, but the easiest thing to reach for is cheap junk food. That's true, and that's a tragedy right now in this country.
That's why we have to go to the garden, because that's where the really affordable food is if you grow your own. And I just remember when my parents had a victory garden during the war, and we never, ever went out to dinner. They canned things from the garden, and we had them during the winter.
You'd think that, because that was such a success, and so many people were proud of their victory gardens, that would have survived after the war. But the next thing that happened was, I remember, I thought that cauliflower, broccoli, spinach all came in these frozen cubes, because that's what my mother bought.
Yeah, I think we have to go back to that movement and revitalize it and plant every little available corner of the city and the vacant lots, the rooftop gardens, and really begin to grow our own food.
My guests are Alice Waters and Tara Parker Pope. We're talking about, we're kind of doing a brief version of what promises to be a very exciting panel as part of the New York City Wine and Food Festival. The topic beyond chicken nuggets, how to raise a healthy eater. Alice, you've also talked about food as fuel culture of the United States. What do you mean by that?
Well, I feel like food is in this place of fueling up that's way over here, someplace disconnected from nature, the seasons and the cycle, and disconnected from a cultural experience. Every other country that I love, food is just woven into the fabric of life. But we talk about it as if it were just a health issue. And I think we'll never solve the problems that we have. We'll never come into a balanced diet. We'll never really understand the pleasure and the deliciousness and the community spirit until we put it, reconnect it to nature and culture.
Well, isn't the rest of the world moving in our direction?
Very sadly, they
you
are.
You go to the countries where we talk about the great cuisines, and there are all of our fast food chains.
That we have slow food out there in Italy that's fighting against.
So that is this all tied up? Is this all connected, slow food, your edible schoolyard, what we're talking about at this panel?
I think there's a connection because I think the goal here is to sort of redefine what food is and to return the joy to the family meal that, you know, so many parents struggle with child, you know, what to feed their kids, how to get their kids to eat. And I think it comes back to sort of looking at what this is about. You know, feeding your child is actually one of the great pleasures in life, but for many families, it's a battle at the dinner table every night.
Must parents completely do away with pizza, chicken McNuggets, cheeseburgers, and the like?
I would say no. You can eat those foods if, you know, you can either prepare those foods at home and make them. I would say no to the McNuggets, but you can make a pretty tasty homemade chicken nugget that your child will eat. You know, the goal here is to introduce your child to a variety of foods. The best thing you can do for your child is not have them eat broccoli every day. It's to have them taste and try and experience food, and that's what's going to lead to a healthy eater in the long term.
But I love broccoli. Jessica Seinfeld has written a book about slipping nutritious ingredients into kids' foods, tricking them into eating well. Do you think that that's a good approach? Forgive me for asking you about another panelist's thoughts. And there's another writer who's also suggested the same sort of thing.
Well, I really don't believe in that. I want to get to kind of this place where kids are just engaged with the process of gardening and cooking and understanding the sort of pleasure of the table, and that they kind of fall in love with it. I don't want to just have it be something that it isn't really trying to get games. It feels like a sort of fast food nation way of getting kids to eat food. I want them to have a whole different relationship that's based on something that's truly nourishing for them, and they get that.
Well, you have instituted a program where the kids get involved with the growing of the food.
Exactly.
So if you grow the food, are you more likely to eat something good?
Well, the two things that I've learned from this project called the Edible Schoolyard in Berkeley that I've been involved with for 12 years is that when kids grow food and cook it, they eat it. They all eat it. And this could be chard and kale and whatever it is, because it's about building self-esteem. It's about pride. It's about a lot of things that we can't calculate in there.
Tara, do you know if we have programs like that in this area?
Well, there's actually data to back up this concept. I know at Teachers College in Columbia, they have studied the effect of involving children in the preparation of food, even just slicing radishes, and they've seen that children who slice the radishes will taste the radishes. Do they love them? Maybe not, but they will try them, and that's always the first step.
So do we have to – do you think that this panel is also aimed at educators? Because, well, it seems to me the key figures here are parents and educators, aren't they?
Well, I – when I thought of this panel, you know, and what I wanted to – you know, the messages that I think we all wanted to share, you know, there's a lot of things happening at the policy level, and there are conversations that need to be, you know, had at the policy level. I think parents are looking for strategies because, you know, what's going on right now in this country isn't working. And so I think, you know, taking the, you know, this effort straight to the family table and giving parents some ideas. And it's one of the reasons why I did want Jessica Seinfeld on the panel, because it's one strategy for parents who are panicked about their child's nutrition. Some of these other ideas take time. And a lot of parents cave, you know. They say, my kid's not eating anything. A Pop-Tart is better than nothing. So at the very least, improve the quality of the mac and cheese that you're putting on the table and then adopt these other strategies.
Well, a listener asks what to do when a child simply refuses to eat the dinner that she has cooked. Is there something that you
could
do?
There's actually science to support what you do. You know, you don't panic, you don't freak out, and you don't punish, and you don't praise.
You don't send the kid to the room, to their room?
No, you don't, actually.
That's what my mother did.
What you want to do is you want to put a lot of food on the table. And, you know, one of the best strategies, if your child won't eat something, to say, okay, I'll eat it. That looks really good. More for me. You know, modeling has a huge impact. There's a lot of science to show it does. And there's also data to show that you need to introduce food as many as 15 times. So the child needs to see the broccoli on the table and you know, hate the broccoli on the table. And it has to go through a whole process involving the broccoli. And eventually, one day, the child will taste the broccoli. It does happen. It just doesn't happen overnight.
Well, I always used to use the times when my daughter was the hungriest, like when she just got back from school. She'd almost eat anything at that moment in time. So I'd make her a little bowl of peas that she could eat when she was very, very young, and she'd eat them all up. And then I wasn't so concerned about what happened at the dinner table. We'd have other things, but I'd already felt good that she had something.
Well, you're also suggesting that if you start them young, it's a lot better. Once they eat a wide range of foods when they're young, then they're not going to, no matter how much peer pressure there is later, to just eat those three fast foods. Now, can you tell us when this thing is taking place, Tara?
It's Sunday, October 12th, so this coming Sunday, or a week from this Sunday. What day are we on? It's October 12th. And it's in the Meatpacking District at the Hero Ballroom. It's part of the Wine and Food Festival, so people can go to the website and see. But it's from noon to 1:30. So we're hoping to have a great conversation with all the panelists.
Who else is on the panel? I mentioned only
a
few.
Well, Alice, we're thrilled to have. We do have Jessica Seinfeld. We have Rachel Ray, who has a really impassioned view of the power of cooking and teaching a child to cook. It's quite moving to listen to her. A great researcher from Penn State University named Leanne Birch, who really has led the science of childhood eating. And we have a pediatrician named Dr. Harvey Karp that many of your listeners will know from the Happiest Baby on the Block series, very popular book, who's there to answer questions about just the general nutrition concerns that parents have. So we have these five great panelists. We're going to have a great conversation and hopefully take questions from people in the audience. We'll have books available after. So I think it's going to be a really great afternoon, and I hope people will leave with ideas and strategies, just a few simple ideas for how to improve the quality of the food their children eat.
And for more details, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We've listed all of that. It's been a great pleasure seeing both of you. It's always a pleasure seeing you. I hope that people are inspired to try to get their kids to eat better, because we do have some pretty serious problems in this country right now. But it seems to me that this is not just about kids. This is about the future of us all, because if we eat well when we're young, then we're going to eat better when we're older. Don't you think that's true?
There's no question. And I think when you eat and you eat the food that is connected to the people who grow it in the seasons, that you are engaged with a whole set of values that we need to live our lives in a slow way.
But don't you see some hope in the fact that the green markets are thriving in New York City and all around the country where
it's
you
are?
It's
very exciting. California. It's multiplied geometrically out there.
There's definitely a lot of growth in the farmers markets and a lot of growth in organic food and increase in home cooking. And, you know, there is this trend that I wrote about recently at the time for positive eating. So people are trying to change.
Thank you both so much, Tara Parker Pope, Alice Waters. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.